Again, Jesus, I thank you that it's about you, and I pray that you would be the one that would fill my mouth with your words, and that it wouldn't be my agenda, but just simply you. And it's in Jesus' name. We praise you, we love you, and we give you thanks and ask all these things. Amen. Okay, so the word that Jesus gave me was present. That's why I had you all go around and tell me what your present was. And so in this world that we can kind of judge others as we see their lives on display on Facebook and social media and different things like that, I can't help but, I say judge in my heart, that like they don't really live like Christ is present. And so because God's made me me, and I always feel like I'm very unusual, but I'm the only me I've ever lived with, I just think certain things. And so I think, Lord, is that how everybody thinks? And, of course, he said back to me, no, Ann, I only made you you. Like, you are you. So there are some people that understand me, and there are some people who don't. So anyhow, may he make sense of the things that are on my heart, and that's my greatest desire. So the word that I have is present, and I am doing the little, what's that thing, the little acrostic, so that I can help keep me in order. Psalm 16:11 says, in his presence is fullness of joy. So that is why it's my heart to present him, because he is who we need. He is the one whose birth we have celebrated in this month, and yet we celebrate his birth 365 days out of the year. That's why I love Christmas music, not just, you know, now the day after or New Year's Eve, but I like it all year long. So praiseworthy is the first word that he gave me as far as looking at this morning. Oh, see, there we go. Back up. I'm going to just do a two-minute book review on the Bible. Have any of you ever thought about the word Bible and what it means? You can raise your hand if you know what the word Bible means. Isn't that fun? Go ahead, Liza. Actually, the word. It means the word. And so, so I had never really stopped and considered that, but it's the Greek word biblos, which means word. So John 1:1, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. In Genesis 3, God said, and let there be light. And so it was by his word that we know he spoke all of creation into existence. God made everything out of nothing. 1 John 1:1, we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. So I was thinking about that. That is such a great passage to like really meditate on. And again, in this world where it is hard to see that he is actually present, with all the muck and the yuck that's going on. This morning was a perfect example. With that fog, it was extremely thick, and it looked like things that you knew that were there were not there, because they were hidden and shrouded by that cloud and by that fog. And so I think that is what we are living in this crazy world right now. That fog envelops so much of who Christ is and what his presence is in every second of our lives, and so that's mainly what my heart wants to illuminate this day. So the word, the Bible, is essential to us knowing who he is, but we don't come to the Bible to know the Bible. We come to the Bible to know him. The Pharisees, sorry, pick on them, they knew the Bible, but they missed Jesus because they didn't have eyes to see him. In the last 50 years, 3.9 billion copies of the Bible have been sold. Like, like that's just, you know, recorded in the last 50 years, so it's that number is far greater. And it is still the most sold book around the world. However, when I asked Google what the number one book was, sadly it came up to be, what was that one, that little Harry Potter guy. That's according to Google. So, you know, that could be fake news. Could be fake news. So now we get to praiseworthy. Psalm 148, praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. And he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountain and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. He truly is praiseworthy. And so this is not a command in this psalm, but I do believe it's an invitation. And if we don't praise him, all of creation will. So I think that is, a reminder for all of us, wherever we go, whatever we see, he is revealing himself in all of creation. R, Redeemer. So the Jews referred to the Redeemer as the Messiah. And Jesus fulfilled over 300 messianic prophecies. So someone, I believe it was in the UK, decided to figure out the statistical probability of a man fulfilling just 8 of those 300 prophecies. And the probability of any man just fulfilling 8 out of 300 is 1 in 10 to the 28th power. So that wasn't good enough for this individual. He said, you know, I could have saw the skeptics say, you know, really, that's pretty easy to fulfill those things in 1 to the 10th to 28th power. And so what if he got at least 48 of those prophecies out of 300? And that statistical probability would be 1 in 10 to the 57th power. So if anybody has not been in math lately, that is 57 zeros added onto there. So we see it is pretty impossible for any man that says, hey, you know, I think I'm going to prove to the world I'm the Messiah to do those things apart from the mighty miracle of God being himself walking among us. So why do I say all those things? Because we as believers in Christ, and I am assuming that all of us, because I know this group there, that you are believers in Christ. But sometimes I believe we also can have that little cloud come upon our minds and forget who our God is. And so sometimes I think it's important to, I always think it's important to remember that foundation of who our God is. We don't just worship one of the many and hope for the best. No, like we have better things to do with our time than just hope for the best. Like if I'm going to give my life to God, I want the real deal. And so it goes back to the creation. Who is the one who created me? Who is the one who created all of you? And so we don't have to just hope. We can know. And we know because also what I just read in 1 John, the witnesses who saw him, who heard, they didn't testify of fake news. They had the real thing. So, again, my popcorn brain one day, I thought, you know, well, I know many Jews don't read the New Testament. And so I thought, well, I wonder what their Old Testament, I knew the Pentateuch is the first 5 books of the Bible. But then I was like, what is the rest of their Bible? Is it the same as our Bible? So Dead Sea Scrolls were found in the caves of Qumran. And I believe there's 14 caves. I think they're up to 14 caves that they've discovered with thousands of scrolls that have verified the Bible, the Old Testament, and the Jews read the same as the Old Testament as ours, which is why the proof is in these scrolls that they found that, you know, they were the same. They haven't changed over the years. You know, there are different books that were not in the Holy Bible because they didn't meet the certain criteria and stuff like that. So I consider myself more of a cheerleader of God's Word rather than, you know, being the scholarly one to say, I'm here to teach you these things. So a lot of these things you can look on your own, but I just think it's really cool that God has given us, again, so much evidence, so much proof. When I asked Christ into my heart, it was because of the church that I was raised in. I thought, who says no to the Lord? But then after I did ask him in my heart and I started this new life, I was like, wow, there's proof to believe what we believe and why we believe it, and it's right here in the Bible. And so we aren't just left with a happy-go-lucky sunshine like, yeah, I hope everything's going to turn out. No, God, like, had so much evidence of who he is. And the witnesses that we have, that we see in the New Testament also. I remember one year sharing with my nieces and nephews, and I, you know, told them the Easter story, and said, you know, I likened it to if I had won a million dollars and I came down here and I said, guess what, I won $1 million, would you believe me? And my nephew was like, no. And I was like, well, what if Uncle Greg came down with me and he said that I won $1 million, would you believe me? And they were like, no. And so, and I was like, well, what if my mom came down and your dad, and I just kept naming him more and more witness, and he's like, well, maybe. And I said, you know, Jesus appeared to over 500 people after he rose from the dead and revealed himself, and not only to the disciples but to the 500. And so I said, would you believe those witnesses? And he's like, yeah, I guess so. And so again, we aren't left with you know, two people saw him and he is who he says he is. No, we know that we know who he is. And so Job 19:25, for I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he will stand on the earth. After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. And so we know that our Redeemer lives. The next letter, E, eternal. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He has no beginning and he has no end. All of creation, again, as I mentioned, testifies of who God is. Is there more than one creator? Of all the other gods I've investigated, none of them have claimed to be the creator. So again, that testimony that we have to go to the one who has this masterpiece of creation. You are his masterpiece in creation. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's masterpiece, his poema. That is like a mind-blowing, truthful verse for us all to really meditate and rest on, lifting your eyes to him. I mean, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. So you are his present to him. So that's a beautiful thing. The next letter is S, safe. God gave me this word, safe. Proverbs 1:33, but whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. I'm not going to read all of Psalm 91, but it's one of my favorites. It's a great one. But in there it says, for he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. And I think throughout COVID especially, I was a little rebellious, and wherever I would go and do and live, I just felt like God had me hidden under the shadow of the shelter of his wing wherever I want. No fiery dart could come upon me, and I just didn't care to obey all of the rules, which is bad of me, I know, because that is kind of a misrepresentation of who he is when I don't do that. But anyhow, but I just see, like, it is in him that we are safe. It is in him who we want to live for and please and move about in this world. And so two of the stories from the book of Daniel, when Daniel was worshiping God, and King Darius was kind of tricked by the his advisors and officers to say, hey, we need to make a decree that anybody who bows down to anybody other than you, you know, should be put to death. And then they saw Daniel worshiping and praying to God, and then they were like, aha, we caught him, and, you know, he needs to be killed. And King Darius's heart was so upset, and I just love that portion of scripture that when he saw that he had been tricked, he couldn't sleep that night when Daniel was fed to the lions. And in Daniel 6:18 it says, then the king returned to his palace and spent the night fasting. He refused his usual entertainment and couldn't sleep at all that night. Very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den. And when he got there, he called out in anguish, Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God whom you so faithfully serve able to rescue you from the lions? For he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. And then he said, has he rescued Daniel? Then Daniel responds, he has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. And so, again, I'm condensing the story there. But I just, it moved my heart to see Darius fasting and praying for Daniel. And then we know what happens. You know, unfortunately, the officers and their families all got fed to the lions, and the husbands and wives and children. So that's not a good ending right there. But we just, I mean, that is who we live for today. The same God. And then on the, like, flip side of that, or not really the flip side, because it's the same kind of miraculous story, I think, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were all fed in the fiery furnace. And then King Nebuchadnezzar sees that fourth one in there walking around, and what, there are only three, and that fourth one we know is God. But the prayer that they had before, or their bold statement rather, before they were in the fiery furnace, is that, yes, my God can deliver me, but even if he doesn't, I will still praise him. And so Mercy Me has a song that I love, and I believe it's called Even If.
Oh, I love it.
So that's, again, a very anchor to our hearts. Like, my God is able, but even if he doesn't, my God still is over the situation and has a bigger, better plan, even if I can't see it on my level of earth. And so we can rest and know that it is about what he's doing, and that we will not bow down and worship the golden idol or worship King whoever is put in front of us or whatever. And this world is coming to that. And we see the many things that the world is bowing down to. Okay, the next letter, E, ever-present. So I had, you know, at first I wanted to put P instead of praiseworthy. I wanted to put present, but then anyhow, he's ever-present. He is omnipresent. So I tried this one. It doesn't work. I tried to be in more than one place at one time. Only God can do that. So he is present at all places at all times. And so I think, you know, there's that song, or not song, there's that little book, My Heart, Christ's Home, I believe that's what it's called. So the idea is, like, my body, my heart, my life is, Christ is allowed in there. But I'm like, oh, but that room, Lord, it is a little bit messy. Please don't go in there. And so I kind of lock that little part of my heart, and I don't want to let him in there. Well, guess what? He knows that part of my heart. So there are parts of our lives that we may live that we think, you know, Jesus likes coming to church with me. Jesus likes going here with me. But you just stay back here. I think it was Karen's nephew. Do you remember that that skit that BJ did? And I may have shared this one time before, but it was a skit where her nephew had played this part, and he was sitting there with Jesus, and they were hanging out, and they were having a good time, and then friends come and knock at the door and keep inviting him to go somewhere with them, and he refuses, he refuses, he refuses. refuses. And then finally he says, he's like, oh, okay. And as he starts going away to the door, Jesus starts following him. And he's like, no. He's like, you won't want to go where I'm going. You should stay here. And so he turns around and, you know, Jesus is still following him. He's like, no, really. You just stay right here. And so I know this is kind of like an illuminated kind of thing, but then he takes the nail and he holds it up and he says, no, I said, you stay here, you know, and he wanted to leave Jesus behind. I think this is an Easter little skit, but we sometimes want to leave Jesus out of certain parts of our lives, situations, fill in the blank, whatever it may be, but he is always present. He is always with us. And so he is not only omnipresent, he is the best present. He is the best gift that we could ever receive. He's the best gift that keeps giving. So some of you may have received gifts this Christmas and been like, I'll just set that over here in the re-gift area, or I'll open that eventually, and it may never get opened. It may never get used. It may never get held. It may never whatever. You may never think of it again. And so I believe there are people who have heard about Jesus, and it's like, oh, yeah, Jesus, you know, he's great. But they never enter into that intimate union with him and that intimate relationship. And many don't know how. Many have not been, I wanted him, but I didn't know how to have him. I didn't have the word. That wasn't part of our life and our daily activity or daily knowledge even. I think I've shared. It said good news, and I didn't know the Bible was good news, and I didn't know that good news, like, I thought it was just a book called Good News. But I didn't know if that meant Bible. So I was a little slow. But that is what is the greatest gift. So Jesus does not want us to put him on the shelf, the elf on the shelf. Nope, just keep Jesus out all year long. And so this is where, you know, the Holy Spirit can speak to each and every one of you, whatever things you may be setting him aside and not including and inviting him. The Holy Spirit is faithful to reveal that. So his mercies are new every morning. I love that one, too. That's a great one. It's just like, you know, you shower each day, and your mercies are new each day. Every day is fresh and brand new, kind of like groundhog, you know. You forgot what happened yesterday, and you get a new one today. Okay, so 1 John 1:1-10. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth, but if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So the question is, does God really know everything? Well, yes, he does. And nothing is hidden from him. In verse 9, it says, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. Now, don't misunderstand me again. Being a Christian is not a list of do's and don'ts of what we should do in life, but it's being in that union and getting to know him more and more each day. And the more we know him, the more we'll trust him. And the more we trust him, the more we surrender. And the more we surrender, then we see it's about that abiding in him and what he's already done. And so I heard one time, I think it was Kent, when we get in an airplane and we fly to London, we don't have to hold on to the wing and hope that we hold on long enough, hold tight enough to be able to make it there. And so I used flying to Romania as an example. And it's not by my might. It's not by my power. It's not by Spirit Airlines. Just kidding. Not by, it's by his spirit. So that same picture, we can rest. It's not about straining and striving and anything I need to do and flapping my wings, but resting in what Jesus has already done. And so it's a great picture of resting, that he is the plane, he is the pilot, and he's going to get me there, and I can just rest in the finished work, and it's not by me. So living in union with Christ, I believe, is a mystery. It's not a formula, But on one hand, it's very, very simple. It's just about inviting him to be your all in all. Many of you heard this message a lot of times from Tom and from Ed. And so it sounds so simple. It sounds so elementary. It sounds so, but it is the most important, toughest thing we'll ever enter into, but yet we can't enter into it because, I mean, not that. Let me rearrange those words. That's where it's a mystery. Because by asking him to be our all, in all, there is a surrender and just an acknowledgement. So when we have Christ be our all in all, then we invite him into our marriage, into our relationships, into our friendships, into our parenting, our finances, our strengths, our weaknesses, our addictions, our unforgiveness, our misunderstandings, our phone conversations, our gossiping, our compulsions, our depression, our insecurities. Fill in the blanks. When he is all in all and he is in those areas of whatever it is that we struggle with as people, then it's all about him. And when it's all about him and it's not about me, then he's going to take care of those things. And that's where there's the beautiful, simple mystery that's impossible. Because that impossibility is not impossible for him. It's impossible for me. So I love that picture. You don't look at your sins to try to fix them. You look at the Savior. Just look at him and let it all be surrendered to him. So Jesus is either Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. I said it too. I feel like it's kind of flipped to say that, you know. But I would rather say that to you all than to God's face. God, you know, you're either Lord of all or Lord not at all. And he's like, oh no, I am. I believe it was Josh McDowell that said he was either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. And I believe he's Lord. So ask for God to give you those eyes to see that he is present. The letter N is my favorite anchor verse that I think every time I speak to anybody, it probably comes out of my mouth. He will never leave nor forsake you. I love that one. That is my absolute favorite. And this is going to be clapping on my little thing every time I do that. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. I mean, it is just the best. It is like, so when we have those human emotions and we are afraid, and we have the unknowns, or we get a diagnosis of sickness, or we've lost a loved one, or whatever it is, he is with us. And if he is with us, it's going to be okay. Now, like I said, in our humanity, we will have tears. We will have fear. We will have those emotions because that's how he made us. He did not make us robots, void of those emotions. So emotions are not bad. And I think, you know, that's why I said he's, you know, Lord of your depression and your insecurities or whatever it may be. So if he's in those things, then he can be the redeemer of those things. He can take our humanity and have it be lifted for his glory. In verse 8, it says, the Lord is the one who goes before you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Dismayed here means to fall flat on your face in deep discouragement. So I'll read it again. The Lord is the one who goes before you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. So, do not fear or fall flat on your face in discouragement. God says, I am thy God. I am in charge. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher. His ways are higher. So whatever any of you are going through, lift your eyes to him and trust that he is in all the details, great and small. We looked at the book of Job this summer. Joe Feinauer had illuminated basically, the whole book of Job can be boiled down to one verse, which is pretty amazing because there are 1,070 verses to be exact in the book of Job, and there are 42 chapters. So for it to be boiled down to just one verse, I think it's pretty amazing. So it says from Job, chapter 42, verse 5, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Isn't that awesome? So, I love that illumination, and the The other thing that I love in Genesis 16:13 is when Hagar was mistreated by Sarah, she fled from her presence, but God spoke to Hagar. God didn't need to do a sonogram to see what was inside of her womb. He saw inside of her womb and said, you're going to have a son, and his name is going to be Ishmael. Isn't that pretty cool? I mean, that can be a detail that's kind of like not really looked at. So anyhow, so then here is where God intimately speaks with Hagar to tell her this. You have a son. He's going to be called Ishmael. And she calls him El Roy, the God who sees. So in Job, we see that he's the God to be seen, and he is also the God who sees. So God sees you, and God wants you to see him. The next letter, T, trustworthy and true. Trustworthy means worthy of confidence. Confidence is a relation or trust or intimacy. And so when our kids were little, if Tyler was in the pool and he said, come on, jump to me, they trusted their daddy and they jumped to him. Now if somebody else was walking by in the pool and they were like, jump to me, Abigail may have, but they're a little less likely to jump to that stranger. So we want to know him intimately so we can have that trust and confidence. In Psalm 118:8, it says, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Proverbs 3:5-6, everyone knows this one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. So today is December 31st, 2022. Tomorrow we start a new year. And this could be our last day on earth. Every day that we wake up could be our last day on earth. And so I'm excited to see our King. I'm excited to see our King daily when I wake up, when I have my devotions and talk to him and kiss him on his cheek and walk with him in the grocery store and hopefully have an opportunity to share him with someone. So we can live in that excitement of his presence and share that with others because we have seen and we have heard and we can testify to these things. Uh-oh, did I skip one of my letters? Let's see. Nope, I didn't. Okay, so the other illumination that God gave me was I was walking one night taking the trash out, and the way that the sky was, there was this little opening, and I could see some of the stars, and then there were all these clouds surrounding on each side of it where I couldn't see the stars. And I just, like, looked at that little window, and I was like, isn't that interesting how present those stars are that are visible and how those ones I can't see are not seen, but they're still there, like the fog this morning. And so then I was walking the next day, going for a walk, and I looked up in the sky, and it was bright, and I thought, those same stars are still there. And again, I think God just, like, puts these things as reminders for us that he is present. So all of these things can be summed up nicely, that he is a praiseworthy redeemer who will eternally keep you safe. He is ever present and will never leave nor forsake us because he is trustworthy and true. And with that, I will close. Jesus, we thank you, Father, that you are ever present. We thank you, Father, that you are the God who sees, that you are the God to be seen. And I pray for each and every one of my dear sisters in here, Lord God, that you would continue to be with each and every one of us and just continue to draw us into a more intimate relationship with you, Lord God. You just blow us away as you reveal your goodness, your faithfulness. Your ways, again, are not our ways, Lord God, but the more we know you, the more we can rest in your hand to allow you to whatever it is, to whatever is planned by your hand to be in our life, Lord God. As we know you, we can accept these things because you are a good, good Father, and we love you so much, and we praise you, and we just are excited what 2023 will bring with you. And so, Father, again, we love you and praise you and give you thanks for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.